to practice their newfound faith. Christian converts often gather in clandestine house churches, which are constantly under threat of raids and infiltration by the secret police. One day, Teha was at work when he received a call informing him that the secret police were in his home. That news was dreaded by most Christians. So you can imagine how Teha felt when he was told the secret police are in your house. Upon his return, he was arrested and taken to prison, where he was interrogated to reveal information about other Christians. After his release, Teha and his family faced continued harassment for their faith, leading them to take the difficult decision to leave Iran. Like the Afghan refugee family we were sponsoring, they are now living in a refugee camp in Turkey, where life is immensely challenging. Despite these challenges, their resolve to follow Christ remains unwavering. Their joy overflows. And I think they have something to teach us about the persecuted church and the theology of suffering for Christ. Before we unpack our text on persecution for righteousness and for identifying with Jesus, we must answer the question, what is persecution? So that we are all on the same page. Persecution is an unfair or biased treatment based on religion, race, or sex, or maybe your beliefs. It can take many forms, such as verbal abuse, isolation from family, discrimination from teachers, employers, and landlords, fines, higher taxes, harassment for your faith and beliefs, imprisonment, confiscation or destruction of property, torture, false accusations, public shaming, slavery, and even death. It's important to note that persecution also includes subtle gestures of malice and withholding of aid and opportunities from Christians. Throughout history, the church has faced enormous religious persecution, political pressure, and economic hardships due to sanctions imposed upon them by the authorities that be. And yes, in case you're wondering, persecution is still in existence today. So what does Jesus mean by saying, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness or for identifying with Jesus, for theirs is the kingdom of God? Being persecuted is not a good experience. It makes us sad. But why would Jesus say, you are blessed if you are being persecuted, if you are sad because somebody is on your case trying to harass your family? Why should Jesus say you are blessed? We are going through that. We are going to answer that question throughout this message, and please pay attention. But to begin with, Jesus implies that persecution is to be expected in the life of a Christian. In John chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus answered a question like this. He warned his followers that they would face persecution in his world. The Amplified puts it this way. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. You will have tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. However, be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, Satan, and undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I've conquered it for you. Can I hear somebody say amen? Yes, indeed. Jesus has overcome the world. And in him, we are more than conquerors. This vindicates, Paul who taught that, all who delight in pursuing righteousness and are determined to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You find that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Suffice it to say, all believers in Christ should expect to experience some kind of persecution, not in the same way, but all for the same reason, because of their faith and uncompromising devotion to the way of Jesus. Jesus experienced persecution, opposition, and hatred, which led to his crucifixion. We must realize that by identifying with him, we are inviting similar persecution that he endured because we are not of this world. He said, if the world hates you, know that it had hated me before it hated you. Remember what I said. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. You find that in John chapter 15, verse 18, 19, and 20. Now, again, in Matthew 24, verse 9, Jesus says, you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And all nations will hate you because of me. The word nation there comes from the Greek transliteration, which is ethnos, meaning people groups and cultures, not nations as you know them today. And this is precisely what happened for 2,000 years, beginning with Jesus' first followers, 11 of whom were killed for their faith. Only John, the elder, died an older man while in exile for his faith on the island of Patmos. Here's another example. Stephen, a deacon in the early church, was stoned to death because of religious persecution. Acts chapter 8, verse 1 to 3 records, great persecution against the church in Jerusalem led to the scattering of all believers throughout Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. That means they stayed, but they were also being persecuted. A man called Saul, sent by the elders, began to destroy the church from house to house, arresting both men and women and putting them in prison for their faith. History recounts how early Christians were persecuted by Roman emperors for refusing emperor worship. Therefore, Nero falsely accused the followers of Jesus of burning Rome. As a result, they were punished by being thrown to the lions, hung on poles, tied to stakes, and set on fire. According to the World Christian Encyclopedia and the video we just watched, more than 340 to 365 million Christians face high levels of persecution and discrimination in their countries, where it is a crime to believe or name the name of Christ. Assemble to worship like this, carry a Bible, or share their faith with others. You can go to prison for sharing your faith with somebody. If they find out, you will pay a high price. Christianity Today's website reports that almost 5,000 Christians were killed for their faith just last year in 2023. Additionally, almost 4,000 were abducted. Nearly 15,000 churches were attacked, bent down, or forcefully closed. And more than 295,000 Christians were forcibly displaced from their homes because of their faith. Just in case you're saying, oh, that is out there, not here, you may be right. Persecution in Western countries is often more verbal, involving social isolation, name-calling, and defamation at work, or in the marketplace and the public square. Western society, though, is becoming more hostile to our faith as Christians, because they label us as haters of society, while the hate directed at them as Christians is often excused as reasonable. Therefore, we need to continue praying for our brothers and sisters in the severely persecuted church around the world. We are better off here in the West because you would not be persecuted for carrying your Bible. You can buy all the versions in the world, and you can also have your Bible on your cell phone here in the West. But out there, people are suffering for Christ. What do we need to do? We need to pray. Hebrews 13 verse 3 encourages us to remember those who are in bonds as though we were bound with them, and those who suffer adversity as though we are suffering with them. Now, have you ever wondered, why do Christians get persecuted? What did we do? Why do they persecute Christians so much? By all these ethnos, people groups. Scripture explains why believers face persecution. But before we go there, allow me to give you a caveat. We need to recognize that some Christians experience persecution for reasons unrelated to their faith. Some may face ridicule because they come across as rude, obnoxious, self-righteous, or holier than thou. Some Christians are annoying. Others may be persecuted, not for their faith, but for their lack of consideration, such as praying loudly at night or too early in the morning and disturbing others. I do remember a few people that do that out there in Africa. I had experiences where people woke up at 3, 4, or 5 in the morning and pray on top of their lungs, waking everybody up with their praying. Additionally, some may encounter rejection and persecution for using aggressive, intrusive, or disrespectful methods of evangelism. A pastor, to illustrate this, remembers being informed about a house church in a neighborhood supposedly persecuted by local authorities for gathering to worship. This news caused quite an uproar in the Christian community. However, it turned out that the city objected not to their worship activities, but to the excessive number of cars attempting to park in a neighborhood without a parking lot. This violated a local ordinance and was causing congestion in the area. And somebody called 911, and they showed up and gave them citations. The issue was not about their religious affiliation, but rather about the parking situation that the city was concerned about. That was not persecution. God will not bless us for breaking the bylaws, being stubborn, and showing ill-advised, overzealous, misguided religious zeal. The promise of this beatitude we're looking at today is only for when you are persecuted for identifying with Christ for righteousness' sake. And there is a big difference. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15 to 16 affirms, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, thief, evildoer, mischief maker, or busybody, meddler, prying in other men's affairs. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name." The first reason we are persecuted as Christians is that our message of love and grace is offensive to the world because it is countercultural. The gospel contradicts society's message. For example, society says that people are basically good, while the gospel states no one does good. Not even one is righteous. You find that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Most religions teach that we can earn our way to heaven by doing good deeds, or almsgiving and stuff like that. But the gospel teaches that you can do nothing to bring about your salvation. Grace is a gift to be accepted, not earned. Society says there are many ways to God, but scripture says Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. Find that in John chapter 14, verse 6, which was stated by Jesus himself. Second, the gospel we preach is offensive and foolish to the perishing, but to us who have been saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1, verse 16. Therefore, we should expect persecution when we preach the message of the cross, repentance, and judgment for believers. They will not accept our message. They will be offended and we will be persecuted. Just like Paul said in Galatians, why am I being persecuted? Is it for preaching circumcision? No. Because that's what the world or the religious establishment teaches. I'm being persecuted because of the cross of Christ. Therefore, all hell breaks loose because of the offense of the cross. The ultimate reason why the world persecutes the church is because the world hates Christ. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first, says the Lord Jesus to his disciples. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. And that is found in John chapter 15, verse 18 to 21 again. When we suffer persecution, we definitely identify with Christ's suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 to 10 has this to say. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our bodies as we suffer. You may be asking, what should be our response to persecution? What should be our response to persecution? Number one, we should not take revenge, retaliate, or fight back. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Now, I must admit here that this is not easy to do. When someone smacks you on your face or harasses your family, hitting back 10 times harder is very tempting, because I want to defend myself, exculpate myself, yell harder or louder. But we need to exercise restraint and self-control for the sake of Christ. How you do that? You can say a little prayer to God. Lord, please, hold me. I'm about to lose it here. Hold me down, Holy Spirit. And he does answer those prayers. Number two, we are to rejoice and pray for our persecutors in response. In John chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. The Holy Spirit is able to do that through us, if our hearts are right before God and we have compassion for our persecutors. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 14 says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange was happening to you. But rejoice, since you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 40 to 41, talking about the disciples, the apostles were beaten and charged not to speak in the name of Jesus. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Christ. That's Acts chapter 5, verse 40 to 41. We need to rejoice, brothers and sisters, in the suffering for Christ, because when we do, we are blessed and we are promised rewards because we are more than overcomers. When we are faithful to the Lord Jesus and endure to the end, we will receive a reward. We will be blessed. Just like Jesus said, you are blessed when you suffer for me, because yours is the kingdom. Matthew 5 verse 11 to 12 says, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you, because you are my followers. Rejoice. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. So this, you are not the first one to suffer persecution. So take courage in how the prophets responded to it. The Bible discusses eternal rewards extensively. We are told we will have a great inheritance. Be co-heirs with Christ and receive rewards for enduring persecution. But what are these rewards? We did a series on eternal rewards a few months ago called The Overcomers. How many remember that? The Overcomers. Please go back and review that. It will help you to understand the kind of rewards we will receive. However, we need to rejoice in suffering because of the eternal rewards that await us when we cross the finish line. When you cross the finish line. In conclusion, as we land this plane, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says, for our light momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Our present suffering, saints, cannot be compared to the glory of God that shall be revealed in us. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who are going to endure to the end. So if you are suffering for righteousness' sake or because of your faith, count yourself blessed. As Jesus said, because it means you are living for God and you shall be rewarded. You are different from the world, and that's why they are persecuting you. Some Christians have avoided persecution by assimilating into the world, blending in and conforming to societal norms. Here's the question for you. Could this be the reason why we are not facing persecution like the global church? Have we lowered our standard? This is an important question to consider as you reflect on what God is saying to you beyond the voice of the preacher. What is the Holy Spirit emphasizing in your life and in your world? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for being a very present help to those who trust you in times of trouble, hardships, and persecution. Please help us to hold steady and endure daily hardships as we suffer with and for Christ. Please give us the courage to rejoice in our persecutions and remind us of the rewards that await us when we cross the finish line. Bless and comfort the persecuted global church And may your love and comfort and your joy surround them as they look to Jesus, author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. We give you honor and praise because we ask it in Jesus' name. And somebody in the house said amen. Thank you, saints, for your time. God bless you. Wes.